So welcome to a standalone message today. Mother matters. And we're taking a break out of our normal series, a text talk, and we're going to jump back in next week and get back to John 2. But I just want to acknowledge, you know, there's probably all stages of mothers in the room today, right? So there's some that are mothers presently. There's some that are, well, I guess they're still mothers because they're still here, right? Because they're kind of grandmothers, but they have wisdom. But then there's those who are yet to be mothers. So this is interesting. So maybe this message today will be something you can take and use presently, or something that can be applied even right now. So we also want to acknowledge, you know, that there's Mother's Day can be a really difficult day because there's people in the room who've lost their moms, and that's hard when mom's not here. So we're mindful of that, and we know that God just wants to wrap his arms around you and say he loves you, and he knows how you're feeling today. So we want to be sensitive but still honoring, because motherhood, while one of the most rewarding roles, is also one of the most challenging roles God has given. So as we start today, let's just begin with a prayer for moms, okay? Father God, we just want to thank you for your design for motherhood, your design for humanity and how creation started. We want to thank you for that wisdom and the wisdom that you give to mothers and the instruction that we get from them. It is so amazing because they're really intimately involved in our lives, and we're so thankful that you put them there to instruct us. And how can we can't ignore the great love of a mom to a child, and we want to thank you for that because we know that you've placed that in them. We want to ask for your blessing for moms today, and just ask that you would anoint them in an amazing way, and not to take them for granted. It's so easy to take a mom for granted, but you've given us them as a gift, and we want to not take them for granted. So help us to do that. And, you know, there's some of us in the room today that just want to think back and cherish the many memories we've had with mom, and the great times and even the hard times, because they're the things that grow us. And for those who still have moms here, there's still many memories to make. So we look forward to those. And we thank you for all this. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what can we learn about mothers from the Bible? See, as I was thinking about this, you know, there's some mothers that really aren't even mentioned. Like Noah's wife, for instance. Noah's wife was the mother of three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And listen, I mean, as a mom, she had to have it really hard, okay? So the moms in the room can attest to this, because raising children, even adult children, can be challenging, for sure, right? Well, you know, she was a mom for 400 years. 400 years, mom. So just think about that. You don't have to deal with being a mom for 400 years. But she did. We have some amens to that. And then there's Jesse's wife was a mother to 8 boys, one of which being David, King David. Now think about that. Think about being a mom who has to raise these boys to become men, to be trained to be a king, much less. That's a huge responsibility. But yet, we don't hear a whole lot about her. So we just want to acknowledge that, you know, there's some moms in the Bible that don't get a lot of credit, but they did some amazing things. Now, there's plenty more, but we're just going to stop at those couple. So when we look at God's Word, there's many purposes, right? But there's some specifics to it that gives us instruction, encouragement, and understanding. So as we look at our topic today, we're going to look at these things through instruction, encouragement, and understanding. So you're going to hear those words quite a bit. So last week, if you were here last week, we discussed the interaction with Jesus and Mary, right? And they were at a wedding in Cana, just outside of Nazareth. So do you remember that part of the story where she came on the scene, he's there, and what happened? So we're going to review it, and we're put on the screen. John 2, 3 through 5. When the wine was gone, Jesus said to him, "They have no more wine." He says, "Woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come," he replied. And his mother said to his servants, "Just do whatever he tells you." So we talked to some things about that last week, but this week I want you to look at some things here, because there's understanding in this as well as instruction. Because Jesus honors his mother and listens to her request even though it's not his time. So she understands that he who he is, but she also understands who he is. She understands that he is God and that what he's saying is, I'm not here yet. But he also understands who she is as his mom and honors her in how he responds. And, you know, one thing we're encouraged about here is Mary's persistence. Because, you know, even though Jesus' response, not my time, she persists to the servants. This is just do whatever he tells you, right? So, we all know moms can be quite persistent, right? Okay,
I'm in trouble for that one.
Anything. One thing common to all moms is motherhood has seasons of great joy and great sorrow. See, after this wedding, her son just turned water into wine. That's what happens after this scene. Jesus turns the water into wine, the 150 gallons or 120 gallons of water into wine. And you imagine Mary at that moment? Man, we were out of wine. Jesus turned it to wine. Woo! We're good. This is awesome. That's my boy. I'm proud. Well, maybe she didn't have a southern accent, but I don't know how to do a Middle Eastern accent. So, but as with most moms, there are seasons when Mary probably wasn't as happy or full of joy with her son. So we're going to look at one of those possibly. In Matthew 12, we're going to look at it definitely, but possibly that she was not full of joy. In Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50. See, Jesus is found in a house with a crowd around him, right? And while Jesus is still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." Now, there's some understanding here because as Mary comes to see him to tell him something, he's busy doing what he came to do. Jesus is teaching to this crowd of people, and Mary's outside. She didn't try to push her way in. She kind of says, okay, I understand. Jesus has to do what he's got to do, so I'm going to stay outside and wait. But moms are always moms, right? And they want to be involved in his life as an adult. So there she is. He's in his ministry, and she's there. She's there going, "Jesus, I'm here to talk to you." And she's excited. But we're encouraged because, you know, that's kind of like moms today. Moms just don't step away from children as they get older. They still want to be involved in their lives as they grow up. They love them. And that love is expressed in the way that they get involved. So, but there's instruction here as his mother and brothers come to call on him because Jesus' response is not what we would expect it to be. Now listen, here the verse continues, Matthew 12, 48 through 50. He replied to him. To the person, him as being the person that told him, "No, your mother and brother are here." "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Whoa. So instead of going out to see him or having him come in, he redirects everyone's attention to them not doing the will of the Father. Anybody that does the will of the Father is his mother and brother. That's what Jesus says in this moment. So think about the question, though, to Mary. Who is my mother? Can you imagine Mary standing there and hearing, "Who is my mother?" And she's going, "Wait a minute, Jesus. I bore you. I know who your mother is. I'm your mother, right? I'm your mother. I remember childbirth in the manger. I remember. It was, yes, I'm your mother." So do you think Mary in this moment would have been full of joy at Jesus' response? I'm thinking probably not. I'm thinking, really? She was probably a little bit taken back. And while she was aware of the work that he had come to do, she probably was feeling like, didn't I deserve some respect? But wait a minute, before we're too quick and too hard on Jesus, he was not demeaning Mary or denouncing her. In fact, he was using this opportunity to make a point to the people. Remember, he was there teaching. So he was doing what he was supposed to do, and he was teaching the people around him, saying, listen, this is not about me, but it's about you guys understanding who I am. And that if you want to be a part of this family, you want to be related to me, you want to be with me, that you have to realize you have to do the Father's will. And that might mean putting off things that you want or you desire. I mean, he probably had a little bit of an urging in that moment to go see his mom, wouldn't you think? We don't know how far she traveled to come see him, but the fact that she traveled was significant. It's not like us traveling today. We get a car and we drive. Really not that hard. when they traveled, they walked or maybe rode a camel. So it was an investment of time. And she brought not just her, but the family was with them. So it was probably a journey for them to come see him. Now, the instruction we can take from this is, you know, there's a time, moms, when you got to let go. When your boy's out there and you got to say, okay, I'm going to let you go. Got to do what you got to do. That's not always easy. It's that cutting of that umbilical cord. That we're, you know, it's not just the physical thing when birth, it's the emotional and the actual feeling of saying, okay, you're a man now, and it's time for you to go do what you have to do. So, I don't want you to leave with this idea, though, that Mary and Jesus had this kind of strange relationship where he kind of pushed her off, because we know that Jesus loved her, right? And we're encouraged by that because of his last demonstration of love before giving up his spirit on the cross. He's hanging from the cross, and we're to pick up that. It's recorded in John's Gospel in chapter 19, verses 26 through 27. So when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, if you remember from last week, the disciple whom he loved was, or is, John. John, right, okay. The unnamed disciple sometimes. So, disciples who he's standing but nearby, he said to her, woman, woman. And remember, woman's not demeaning. Remember we talked about that last week. Woman is not a demeaning term in this here. It's kind of like dear woman or ma'am. Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now, Jesus, knowing he's the eldest, he was the one, we kind of figured out that he was the one kind of taking care of mom, because Joseph isn't on the scene anymore. So he's there, he's taking care of mom, and that was the role. The eldest son in the family took care of mom. That was his job. So in this moment, he's saying, I'm still the eldest, and I'm going to pass on the responsibility of taking care of mom onto someone. Now, you'd think Jesus had brothers, didn't he? We know that from the previous passage. But where were they? Jesus had enough wisdom to know that in this moment, it was wiser for him to assign her to John, because he had a mission. He was on a mission. He loved Jesus. And Jesus loved him so much that he passed that responsibility on to someone he knew could. It's a really endearing moment. And why did he do it? Because he loved her. And he wanted the best for her. And I think there's understanding in this, because in this moment, we get to see what it looks like to take care of mom and say, I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. But you know, you got to think about something. As Mary's standing there, and Jesus is hanging on the cross, because moments after this, he breathes his last breath. And it's over. It's finished. And the story could end. Could you imagine her standing there in that moment, just looking at John going, what was this all about? What's going on? This is supposed to be the one who's bringing peace. What about what the angel told me? What about all that stuff that the angel told me when Jesus was born? What about the prophets in the temple when Jesus was circumcised? What about that? Where's all that now? I just don't understand, John. And she had to be discouraged in that moment. Because it wasn't just about losing her son. It was about losing hope. But we know the story doesn't end there. Because Jesus conquered the grave and rose again. Now listen to this. We learn in Matthew, it is Mary Jesus first appears to upon his resurrection. Now just imagine that. We go from grave to 3 days later, or from cross, sorry, from cross 3 days later, to the grave. Okay, we're going to read this. To the grave. She's going to the grave. Matthew 28:1. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, now that's not Mary, Jesus' mother, and the other Mary, who is Jesus' mother, went to look at the tomb. Now, there's some things we need to know about this. In other accounts, we know that they were going to the tomb to anoint his body with oil, because they couldn't do it the day that he was put in the tomb, because it was the Sabbath, and they had to go back the next day and anoint the body with oil, or the next 3 days later. And so they were going back, and they were thinking, how are we going to roll this stone away from the tomb? And there's other accounts, they actually say that. They actually say, how are we going to get this stone away? But listen to what happens. She's resilient, isn't she? I mean, despite what happened at the foot of the cross, and despite having to bury her son, she's like, I still have things to do as mom. I still have things to do as a follower of Jesus. Because remember, last week we talked about it, Jesus or Mary went from mom to believer in that passage, right? So when she said she came to him as mom last week and said, "Listen, hey, can you turn the water into wine?" And when she said to the servants, "Do whatever he says," she said, "I believe in you." And she's following Jesus and going, I believe that he is the one that God told me he is. So here she is, a faithful follower. And despite her feelings, despite the discouragement, despite the loss of hope, here she is standing at the tomb. The tomb's rolled open and the angel appears. Here we pick up in Matthew 28, verses 5 through 10. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, yet afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. But suddenly, Jesus met them. Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. Can you just imagine that? Can you just, we're off to say, the angel, he's not, "Greetings." Whoa. And they came to him. He's standing there on the road, and they came to him, and they fell down, and they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. Mary, his mom, was like, "Yes, you're still here. And yes, the promises." And can you imagine the rush of joy back into what was happening? And then Jesus said to him, "Listen, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So Jesus sets mom on mission again. Go tell the disciples. Go tell them. Even though Mary's afraid in that moment, we are encouraged because she's also full of joy. Things are different. They're not as they seem. Hope is rebirth. And Jesus is alive. And maybe I don't understand this, but this is awesome. Now she had the hope that the future was going to be different. See, mom, there's something you need to understand here. Because when you invest in your children, it is about the moment. It is so about the moment. When you invest in them right now, it's about the moment. But I would challenge to say that it's more about the future. It's more about what they will become. Because down the road, the fruit of your labor will be seen and appreciated. Because you know what? I guarantee you, when people see a man or a woman doing what they're supposed to do, they go, "Wow, they must have a good mom behind them. They must have somebody that's lifted them up and taught them well." Think about that. Think about it. We probably all had those thoughts. When you see a kid behaving well, what do you think? You must have good parents. Parents must really invest in them, must really love them. So that's a challenge for you guys, the youths in the room, to think about that. Think about remembering your instruction from your parents, especially mom. You know, kids who love God are not by accident. It is intentional. I was at the prayer meeting this past week, and I don't know, God knows how to sit us, because half our group sat on one side of the church and half our group sat on the other side of the church. And I was placed right in front of this single mom, and she had, I think, four kids sitting there, and I just could not get my eyes off of these. I was trying to concentrate, but I was just watching these four kids. And they came with another church, and they were there, and mom was part of the choir, and it looked like the oldest daughter was also part of the choir, and they got up to sing, and I thought, oh, this is going to be bad, because in this moment, the kids are going to misbehave, and mom's not here, there's nobody here to watch them, because the whole church had gotten up and gone with them. It's just the kids left in this row. But these kids, not only did they behave, but they were worshiping God. I was like, this is amazing. This is awesome. They're sitting there, and they're younger than my kids. I mean, we're talking like maybe 6, 7, 8, 10. They were young kids, and they're They're worshiping God. And, you know, I saw what happened because I saw mom come back. Now, I don't know if she was a single mom. She was just there by herself. Maybe dad was working. I don't know. But I saw mom come back, and the one daughter kind of was kind of discouraged through one song. I don't think she knew it or something. And mom was sitting there kind of just nudging her on and singing with her and saying, here's the words, here's the words. And isn't that the picture of motherhood? This is what you do in life. And it was so encouraging. I was so impressed. I wanted to grab her after the service, but somehow we got turned around and deviated. She was gone before I could say something. But that's the picture. I really believe that's the picture, because one day those kids are going to be standing in church with their families worshiping. And they're going to remember mom whispering in their ear, here's how you do it. And let me just say that there's instruction in the Bible about this too, right? Paul acknowledges it in his letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2:1-5. It's a clear message about what it is to be intentional as mothers. It says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. He's talking to Timothy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives also in you. It was because of Eunice and Lois that Timothy had a faith that Paul could recognize. There was instruction there. I think it was through knowledge and understanding of the word, because that's what they taught. They taught him faith. But also I think that their faith was caught because he was witnessing the application of faith. He saw it in his parents, and now Paul saw it in him because he was invested in. His mom and his grandmom had invested in him. And you know, the prophet Joel tells us in Joel 1:3, it says, tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. Now that's four generations. We have an instruction right here in Joel to pass it on. And the example of that was above right there in Timothy. Because Eunice and Lois passed it on to Eunice. Eunice passed it on to Timothy. And we know Timothy passed it on to so many others. We don't know if he passed on to his family, but if we think about this idea of being a part of Jesus' family that we talked about in the beginning, he passed it on to the family. He was intentional about it. And I think God wants to do that. He didn't create the family just for the family aspect. He created the family to pass his story down, to keep it going. I still think one of the main things that drove me to my faith is my grandfather. Because he passed it on to mama. And then one day it registered up here. One day the Spirit grabbed me and said, listen, this is what you learned. Now, what are you going to apply it? And so I believe that example is being passed down to our children. And I pray that our faith be passed down to our grandchildren and their children. And it keeps going until Jesus gets back and says, you well done. That's the goal. To pass it on generation to generation. And I just want to acknowledge that moms really play an important part in a child's development in four different ways. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Physically, through food and care, right? So moms, by design, are made, even in their physique, in their physical bodies, to meet a child's requirements. Think about this. Well, just we have a dog group here, right? So moms are made to feed. That's how God designed them. That's pretty awesome. But also think about how moms are soft and cuddly, and you can just snuggle up to them, and they're comforting. And we love that. Mom's hug's always the best hug, isn't it? Always the best hug. But then there's the mental side of through teaching and training. You know, moms are often the ones that are helping with homework or training up the girls to be a mom one day. What it's like to cook and do the things that, not all our kids do that, but at least one is interested in cooking right now. But mom does try, and we have one out, and she knows how to cook, and I give credit to mom for that. Because dad didn't do it. So, moms, you have a really important part. And how you live out your faith in your home, that's part of that training. And then emotionally, through loving your kids. Let's just face it, women are more emotional. They're more in touch. When the kid falls down, dad's like, brush it off. And mom's, do we need stitches or we need to go to the hospital? Okay, we're good. But moms are kind of like, are you okay? I mean, you've seen that, right? Are you okay? Can mommy kiss it and make it better? Do you need a band-aid? What can I do for you? Dads are like, brush it off. Let's go. Come on. But moms have that emotional care about them. And then I think spiritually, through all three of these, but adding God's hand to each. So in each of these three areas, physically, they're teaching them. They're mentoring them. They're growing them. They're fulfilling the role that God gave them. Mentally, through teaching them God's word. And emotionally, through sharing God's love. There's a great example of this. Some of you guys might know the movie Blind Side. And in the movie, there's this guy who's just kind of homeless. He's got no family, and he's alone. He's doing this thing all on his own. And I can't remember the actor. It's Sandra Bullock. I can't remember the name of the actor in the movie, her name in the movie. But she's literally there, and she sees this boy, and he's practically a man, and he's got nothing. He's got nobody to care for him. And she says, we got to do something. And if you think about the movie, if you haven't seen it, go rent it. Think about it. She steps in and she meets every one of these needs. Physically, he has no place to live. He has no place to live. He has no food other than what he gets at the school. He's basically sleeping outside or wherever he can. And she says, I'm going to step in and do that. I'm going to take care of that area. And then mentally, who's encouraging this guy? Who's training him? He was practically failing out of school. They were going to drop him out of the program because he wasn't able to do it. But mom steps in and says, we're going to give you tutors. We're going to get you trained up. I'm going to help you. I'm going to do what I need to do. And then emotionally, she loves on him. She shows him that I care about you. And I believe spiritually, because what motivated her to do that? I think it's that idea of when you see the least of these and you give them water or food in my name, then you have seen me and fed me. That's what Jesus said. And that's what motivated her. What a great example of what it looks like as a mom to step into somebody's life. And so what does that look like for us? Think about it. Maybe you're beyond the mom stage, or maybe you're not at the mom stage, but do you have that opportunity to be that in someone's life? What has God called you to do? And moms, don't get discouraged. You're in the battle. Keep going. Sometimes it's challenging, especially through the teenage years. Because the challenge, mom, is to raise godly children who are successful in his eyes. You know, too often in this culture, we get this idea that they need to be successful in the world. They need to have a great job, or they need to have so many kids and get married. But what does God view as success? He views success as your children following him. He never says anywhere in the Bible is there instruction about being successful in your career. He says, work hard. But success by God's standard is a child that's raised up in the way that he should go. Think about it. Think about Eunice's impact on Timothy. Wow. And grandmoms, don't forget, you have an impact too. Think about Lois's impact on Timothy. I can't get past this idea of how God brings life into this world. For 9 months, the mom carries this child in her stomach, in her womb, endures the pains of childbirth. There's automatically a bond with with that. And even for those who have children they adopt, that love that says, I love you so much that I want to take you as my own and care for you. Because that's what God did for me. He adopted me into this family. Just that bond is amazing. And I believe that's a unique bond given by God as a gift that only a mom and a child. Sometimes I get jealous of the bond that a mom and a child have. I know, dads, we get some bond, but there's a unique bond between mom and child. I think we could all agree with that. And that love that a mom can share is transformational. Because it's not just like a love that stops. It's the kind of love that goes on and on and on. And that's the same, that equates to the same kind of love that our Father in heaven has for us. When we love like that, that we transmit God to those around us. God made moms tough, right? To withstand great pain and heartache. But he also made them soft and compassionate so that his love is revealed through them. So it's not by mistake that moms are the way they are. It's by design. By his design. So we give thanks to moms today. But even more so, we give thanks to God for his great design. So let's just take a time of thanks. Listen, if you have a mom, you can thank God for your mom. But we all have moms. We can thank God for our mom. Well, if we're here, we have a mom. Or we had a mom, right? Yes. And we can thank God for that. We can say, God, thank you so much for the mom in our life. And if your mom's here, you can thank your mom. Thanks, Mom. And if you're a mom, I would say you get to thank God. You get to thank God for the joy and the challenge and the gifting to be a mom, because it is truly a gift. The greatest gift a mom can give a child is the opportunity to know and accept Jesus in his life or their lives. And I think if you're doing that, you're on the right path. I think if you're really trying to train your children up in the way that they should go, then you have attained the goal of motherhood. Because through you can't do that and ignore the other. You can't just say, I'm going to train you up to be like Jesus or to follow Jesus and not care for them mentally or physically. Or what was the other one? Emotionally. Or emotionally. You can't do it. See, moms, these things matter to God. And these things we talked about this morning were about the matters of what it is to be a mom and to raise godly children. But I think we're going to change the sermon title this morning to not mothers, mother matters, but we're going to change it to to mothers. Mothers matter. They matter to God and they matter to us. And we thank you for them, God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to look into your word and to hear what you have to say about moms. And we thank you for the moms in this room and what they how they impact our life and how they're impacting our lives. Mothers matter not just to us here, but we know that they matter to you. And that's awesome. And we want to lift them up and honor them this morning. We pray that as we give back to you a little bit of what you've given to us, just a portion, that you are honored and glorified in it, and that we would continue to worship you through it. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.